Well, thank you very much for the welcome and invitation from the leadership of Living Waters to be here. My name is Greg Davidson. I'm a pastor at Blessings Christian Church in Hamilton, down on Lock Street. Last Sunday, in fact, we celebrated as a congregation in a very reformed kind of respectable way, reverent way, really. It was a celebration of 10 years since Blessings Christian Church was started. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of the Blessings story, but I'm very grateful that the Lord has drawn us into His work through the work of His kingdom in the city of Hamilton. And we had four different pastors who have been pastors of Blessings in different ways and for different reasons give short video messages of good wishes. And so that was very encouraging for the congregation. We recently, before Christmas, welcomed various new members from around the city. And the Lord is indeed blessing our work there. So greetings from Blessings Christian Church. And this is my... I've been to Brantford a few times. With the daughter church, I believe, that this church planted, Redeeming Grace, several times in their afternoon service. And it's a blessing to be with you, to be worshiping with you, to sing with you, and to open God's Word for you this afternoon. So good to meet you all and good to see you all. And thanks for the invitation to be here. Well, our scripture reading this afternoon is Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 25, you see Jesus, and maybe you have a pew Bible or a Bible with you. I encourage you to turn there with me, and we'll look at this throughout the teaching and some other scriptures as well on the theme for this afternoon. But this is Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Jesus teaches, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And the readings and the questions from the Heidelberg Catechism, which is also a teaching device and tool that we use at Blessings in many of our evening services. The Heidelberg Catechism questions today are questions 26 and 27. I understand you do these responsively, so I'll ask the question and welcome you to read the responses, the answers on the screen. Lord's Day 9, question 26. What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth"? And question 27, what do you understand by the providence of God?
Well, let's pray together if we could. Gracious Father, we thank you that the grass, even though the grass withers and the flowers fade, that the word of the Lord endures forever. And so, Lord, we know that we cannot hear or have this word applied to our lives without your Holy Spirit. And so we pray that you would send your Spirit, Lord, to open our hearts, open our minds, supply this and send us as obedient servants of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. The title for the teaching this afternoon is How Do I Overcome Worry? The title for the teaching this afternoon is How Do I Overcome Worry? You know the feeling, you wake up one morning and that knot is still in your stomach. Maybe it's a heaviness kind of deep down, maybe you feel it in your chest. It's something that's been bothering you for a few days, maybe a few weeks. You went to bed the night before and you were kind of anxious about it. You maybe spoke to someone in your household about it or prayed to the Lord about it. But it's kind of, you feel it there on your chest or deep in your stomach. And you go to bed and it's there and you wake up a little bit worried, a little bit concerned. Maybe it's a job situation. You're not sure about whether your job is going to last or work out. Maybe it's a financial burden that you've been experiencing, something that's not working out financially and it's really been affecting you. Maybe it's a relationship trial or struggle that you're in. There's been a breakdown in a relationship and there's tension. And it's kind of just weighing on you. You can feel it on your shoulders. And it's kind of there all the time. And you would consider yourself to be anxious about it. We know that anxiety and worry can have a real effect on us. That it's not only something cerebral or is spiritual in our hearts. But it can have, if it goes on long enough, an effect on our bodies even. We can physically feel the weight that we are sometimes under. I was reading a study recently in North America on anxiety and on depression. On anxiety and depression and anxiousness in people. It was interesting. It said that 32% of people in North America struggle with a deep sense of anxiety. That they're really quite worried about several things almost all the time. That's a lot of people. 30% of 500 million. That's 150 million people. What troubled me the most, though, about that study as I read it, it said that out of that 32% of North America that is deeply anxious a lot of the time, deeply worried a lot of the time, that 50% of that group was between 18 years old and 24. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you're in that age category. People are talking about your generation in some way, about being a bit of a worried generation, a bit of an anxious generation. You get some people in that generation not wanting to get their driver's license because they're worried about being in the worry, the stress of accidents. They want to stay home a lot and not go out because they're kind of anxious about going out there and doing things that may be dangerous. There's a bit of a barrier, a fear there. The study also said, by the way, that if you're 65 and older, you're almost not worried at all. It's a very small slice of people who are worried and are 65 and older. So all of you who look 65 and older, you look amazing this afternoon. You look very relaxed out there. 18 up, you don't look so good. Theologians and philosophers from a Christian perspective have identified or categorized worry into kind of three categories historically in church history. The first would be in the category of phobia. You know, like a spider crawling up your arm. You're really scared of that specific situation, makes you anxious. You know, for me, it's walking into an elevator. I do not like small spaces. When that door closes, can you feel the door close? Sometimes when you're in your own life, that's when you feel like you're boxed in, don't you? But it can be a specific thing, a phobia, right? A specific kind of an animal, a small space. That's one level of worry or anxiety. The second level of worry and anxiety that theologians have picked up is called angst. And angst is more this general sense of worry and anxiety. You're not quite sure deep in your heart why you're not totally at peace. You've never really unpacked it. Maybe something in the past happened. Maybe someone spoke to you. Maybe you had an experience. And it's kind of like this general kind of angst that's in my life, that it's not quite right, it's there, but I couldn't, if you asked me, put my finger on it and explain it to you. Do you know the one I'm talking about? And the third kind of category is really the wider category, kind of around restlessness, general restlessness of anxiety, which, you know, would stem, theologians would say, from not being at peace with God. And maybe our brother welcomed visitors here, and maybe some of us here today are visitors and have not surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, would not call ourselves Christians. And maybe you're wondering, why do I have I'm longing for something. I'm a bit restless in my life. I've got three houses and three cars and lots of money, and I'm a little bit restless still. I don't quite feel, I'm not quite there. I thought I would be by my age at peace, but I'm not. Well, if you're here this afternoon, so glad that you are here. And here's the reason deep down why you're not at peace. It's because you haven't been reconciled to God in Jesus Christ because of the sin you have in your life and the sinful condition into which you were born. And that restlessness comes from entrusting our lives to God in Jesus Christ. Well, this afternoon I want to just unpack with this a little bit from Scripture based on these teaching questions about God's providence. And we went through those questions, and you'll see several of the Scriptures that we'll look at this afternoon tied into those questions. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes and just teach you through a few minutes about how do I overcome worry? How do I overcome worry? Maybe it's more the first type, the specific kind, or maybe it's really just that second type, that angst or that anxiety that you may be experiencing in your own life. And because of the teaching service, I want to use a teaching tool that you can all use when you go home this afternoon and remember this teaching by. It's a very, very nice teaching tool. And I want you to remember the word calm. How do I overcome worry? Remember the word calm, C-A-L-M. Different writers, different theologians have used this as an acronym, and I'm adapting this in various ways from there. How do I overcome worry? Remember the word calm. What's the C stand for in calm? It comes from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And we can go to 1 Peter for a moment, and we can understand that the very first teaching about how do I overcome worry and anxiety in my life is 1 Peter 5 and 7. And the C stands for cast. Cast your cares. Cast your cares. Let's see what the New King James Version says here. Casting all your care upon him who cares for you. Therefore, humble yourselves under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him as he cares for you. Cast your cares. How to overcome worry? Cast your cares, the Bible teaches us, to build this as a practice into my spiritual life. To build this as a discipline into my thinking about life as I encounter it from day to day. To not, when I go around my regular day at work or at home or in the town or country and I have some kind of a care on my mind, I think, oh, that is really bothering me. That deadline I have to meet, that burden I have to meet financially, that stress in that relationship, I'm going to try to fix it. The Bible says that as we have a burden or a care that arises in our mind, the Christian is told cast it, to throw it. It's the same word that is in Palm Sunday's text whenever the crowds throw the cloak on the back of the donkey. We're called not to hold on to our cares, to hold on to our burdens, but God's word invites us, instructs us to throw our burdens. Now, do you ever throw your burdens? When you have them, do you ever find yourself spiritually casting your cares or casting those things that you are unable to carry yourself on your own strength into the hands of God? Into the hands of the one who cares for you. I want you to picture this week in that burden or that struggle that's causing you anxiety or worry, often about the future. I want you to picture yourself taking that thing and casting it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just picture yourself in your mind's eye, in your heart, of taking your worries to God in prayer, and you are in a way mentally and spiritually leaving those things with Him. I'm talking about your own Christian discipleship. I'm talking about your own life of prayer. I'm talking to you men out there, and I'm calling out the men because we often think we are untouchable by the world, don't we, men? And if a problem or a concern comes, we will fix that thing no matter what, and we won't tell anyone around it about it until it's fixed. We'll hold on to that thing. We'll white-knuckle it. I will anyway. And that will often not help us as Christians or help those around us or model to our children or grandchildren or church members what it means to deal with worry spiritually and faithfully as a Christian. We're meant to be openly fathers and grandfathers and young men saying, I'm giving this to God. I'm casting this care to God. I'm not saying don't take responsibility for your life. Go big, take responsibility, go. But also, as crises come, as worries come, as concerns come, let others see you going to God in prayer, in faith, trusting them to the Savior, trusting them to the God who has all the victory. Understand that once you become a Christian, the cares that are in your life and that are often heavy, and you might wake up in the morning feeling deep down in the pit of your stomach, understand that those are no longer yours to carry alone. And I want to tell you that as we read in the Bible, the devil and his host of minions, the principalities and the powers, specialize in trying to isolate the Christian with their worries so that we deal with them in unfaithful ways. And I want you to remember the story of the demoniac in the Gospels, how Jesus finds him where? On the other side of the sea, in a desert place, all alone, alienated, with no one around. Which is really a picture of where the devil wants each of us to be. And he can often use those thoughts in our minds, those worries we take to bed with us and wake up with in the morning and do not share with our pastors or share with our elders or share with our deacons. And he'll take those and he will use those to become destructive in your life. How do I overcome worry? The first way you overcome worry is you practice the spiritual work, the spiritual discipline of casting your cares to God. You pray with a friend, a husband, wife, gracious God, I am so anxious about my mother's illness. And I wish to commit this to you, O God of great, of God of healing, God of providence, you know all things. I cast this care to you. I cannot carry it any longer. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love this family.
We cast this at your feet. And what a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, you'll find if you take this as a practice for yourself. Fathers, practice it. Let your children see it. Let your wives see it. As you cast your cares before the Lord, He'll keep cares for you. Give them to Him. Okay, what's the second thing in the teaching this afternoon? Calm. You're all going to remember this. Calm the whole week now. You're going to remember calm the whole week. A stands for abide in Christ. Guess which passage we're going to now in the New Testament for abide, all of you incredible catechism learners out there. What's the most famous passage about abiding in Christ? The Greek word is meno, or remain. It's about continuity, isn't it? It's about depth. Abide in Christ, John chapter, you know it, John chapter 15. What does Jesus say? Jesus in John chapter 14 and 15 is addressing the last words to his disciples. Jesus is going to be leaving them. And it's somehow Jesus, who knows all things, knows that the hearts of his disciples are going to be troubled when he leaves. He knows that one of the first things they're going to do when he leaves and goes to the cross and is ascended, he knows that they're going to start worrying. They're going to be troubled in their hearts and lives, that they're going to begin guessing and wondering and worrying and being anxious. He knows that to them because he says, this world has enough trouble of its own, but fear not, I've overcome the world. I've given you the Holy Spirit, another help. Remember that part in John 14 and 15. But he gives them this core teaching that every Christian needs to know who wants to overcome worry, who wants to address it spiritually and biblically in their lives. And that's in John chapter 15 and verse 4, which I'll read for us. Jesus says to his disciples, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. There's the word again. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Three times the word abide is in that one verse. Abide, abide, remain. A sense of continuity in Jesus, a sense of persistence in Jesus. What am I trying to say here? How are we applying this to our lives? What I'm saying is this. If you want to overcome worry in your life, understand John 15, 4 and the word and teaching abide. Jesus is not saying try abiding or maybe abide or if you have time before X, Y, Z abide. He's telling them abide in me. Let me tell you this. Try this as you are thinking about an anxiety in your life that you have not, that is still there, that is unaddressed. I want you to think about, as a Christian, the first 2 or 3 minutes when you wake up every morning. Now, I know some of you may have kids crawling all over you in the first 30 seconds. Or maybe it's a dog, I don't know. But it might be busy. I want you to, this week, try this. The first 2 or 3 minutes of every morning, I want you to think about what it means to abide that day in Jesus. Take a breath. Think about the Word of God, the promises of God, the power of God. And those first 2 minutes when you first wake up as a Christian, and maybe the first 2 minutes where you go to bed, you're going to remember this command of Jesus. That Jesus, what is ahead of me today, whatever it may be, and whatever this anxiety is in my life, this worry in my life is, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to look for your presence through your word and spirit to address my soul and to address my mind. And even if that issue in my life remains, that trial, that difficulty, that illness, whatever that may be, I'm going to abide in you, Jesus. I'm going to remain in you by the help of your Spirit and Word. And I'm going to take a moment every morning to, in a sense, breathe in and remember those great promises of God. I'm not looking for a show of hands. But how many of us take our telephones, our cell phones, whatever they are? I grew up in the time when phones had cords on them. It was a lot simpler. How many of us take our telephones into the bedroom?
And then all the stuff is there, and it's all the emails and texts and the work and everything. My wife started this thing with our kids that has been, over the years, difficult to enforce. But I think quite powerful. Any phones or any devices, iPads, those are all, those stay in the kitchen. And when I go to sleep, those things are nowhere near me. And I have time to pray, think, remember. I have time, if I didn't have time early in that day, to practice the spiritual discipline of abiding in Christ, at least remembering the promises of God. Jesus, who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't ever think that our burdens or our trials or our difficulties are in any way too hard for God to address. He will use them in His way and in His time, you know, in your whole life. And we're called to abide in Christ. Well, cast your cares. Abide in Christ. Meno. Abide, that continually remembering of Jesus through His Word and Spirit. And what about the L in calm? What about the L in calm? Look to God's provision. Look to God's provision. And here we turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we see Jesus' teachings, the one I read before. And we see Jesus teaching His disciples and those, He's giving the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the great lawgiver, the one who will not abolish the law but fulfill it. And He's here on the mountain, the new Moses, teaching God's people what it means to follow Him. And here He is teaching about worry. He's addressing it head on. And His teaching here for them is to look to God's provision in their lives. How often do we look to the deficits in our lives, the pitfalls, the valleys, the trials, the difficulties that make them worse in our minds? Here, Jesus is teaching the disciple to look to God's provision. Therefore, He says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body. Is life not more? And then He turns in verse 26, where to look. Where to turn the eyes of your heart. Where to turn your own eyes. He's using an example. And the example that Jesus uses here is God's creation. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. They aren't storing up and worried about the daily essentials. These birds have no look of worry on their face. There's not one wrinkle on the face of that starling in my backyard. Can you believe it? Not one wrinkle. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. That's what Jesus is teaching. He's saying, look to my creation. Look to the God who has made all things. He is creator. He is able. The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. God, our God, the living God, is not short of anything. His storehouses are not empty. He's not short of money. He's not short of riches. He's not short of abundance. He's not short of foods. He's not short of solutions and in His own providence to work out and weave things in our lives to his glory and to our good, to turn those things that are evil to our good. He's not short of being able to do that. And Jesus says you need to look to the God who has all things in His hands. All the answers, all the concern, He has it all. He is God. He is not short of anything. He's the God who's able to provide. And you see time and time again in the Old Testament, the prophets in the historical books of Kings, Elijah and Elisha, praying to the Lord, and the Lord providing from the heavens, rain, providing oil. Here's the God who is not short, and we're called as Christians to turn our hearts and to train our hearts to look to God's provision. What worry does, Jesus teaches the disciples in verse 27, is it distracts us from God providing. And what it does to the Christian and what it does to the disciple of Jesus is instead of focusing, here in verse 27, instead of focusing on God's faithfulness and God's power and God's provision, what do we start focusing on? We start focusing on the what ifs. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that? What if the other thing? He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit of stature? It's not worth it. It doesn't get you anywhere. He says, not at all, not at all. And friends, we'd understand in the Bible that God is the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. That God is the God of yesterday. He is eternal. He's unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God is the God of today in our own lives. God is the God of this week as we head into it. God is the God of this day, this Sunday in 2025. But God is also the God of tomorrow. In fact, and there's no thing that exists tomorrow that the living God is not able to address in your life. And in my life, don't look to the what ifs. Look to God's provision, the God who is able. Jesus leaves his disciples, leaves those listening to him in Matthew chapter 6 with a legacy of peace and a priority in verse 33, seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And he lays that with them, saying, look, look to God. Look to his provision in your life. I'm going ahead of you, he says to his disciples. Cast your cares. How do I overcome worry? Cast your cares upon him who cares for you. Throw them there in your prayers, in your living. Abide in Christ. Remember the promises of God. Look to God's provision, not my provision. Look to the God who is not short of anything. He provides all things. Look at Matthew 6. And fourthly, what's the M in calm? Remember this teaching this week, will you? The M in calm is to meditate on truth. Meditate on the truth of God. I want us to go to that famous pointing verse in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Here's Paul teaching, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious for anything, he says. And he says a thing about what to meditate on in the context of rejoicing in God. And in not being anxious and not worrying. Even Paul knew that his church would encounter worry. And what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8? He says, finally, brethren, listen to this. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, what does he say at the end of that? Meditate on these things. Let me ask you this. Is your mind as a Christian filled with what is true? Or is your mind as a Christian filled with things that are false? About the world? About who God is, about others. As a Christian, do you take efforts in your own discipleship to care for what's in your mind? Of course, Paul addresses the mind, the Christian mind, several times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, about conforming, don't be transformed to this world, but conform your mind. But here we're taught that if we want to overcome worry, the thing to do, the thing to obey, the obedient life, is to train what thoughts are going through your mind. Through memorizing Scripture, through singing Scripture, through speaking about Scripture with others, by praying through Scripture, to meditate on God's truth. And here's the thing the Christian needs to learn to do to overcome worry in this sense. We need to learn to replace the anxious thoughts in our minds, the worry thought, will I ever get married? Oh Lord, will I ever get married? I'm struggling with singleness, and it's hard at the moment for me. And I desire to have a wife. I desire to have a husband. It's really bothering me. And it worries me. How is it that we replace those thoughts in our minds? God calls us to replace those anxious thoughts with God's truth. And whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of any virtue, praiseworthy, meditate on these things, Paul says. Meditate, let your mind murmur on these things, Psalm 1 says. Meditate on God's law and God's truth, and that person shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, and their leaves shall not wither, but they shall flourish. Meditate on God's truth. It changes how we see things and who we are. Let those thoughts replace the anxious thoughts. What do people call those thoughts in our minds? Have you heard this acronym before? Here's a second acronym, and we're almost finished. Here's the acronym, because we often take those thoughts in our minds that are not from God, not honoring to God, and what do we do with them? We expand them into the worst-case scenarios. We say, that will never get better. In the singleness case, we say, I'll never, ever get married. If we're struggling financially, well, I'll never be able to get settled financially. And you make that worse and worse in your mind. But friends, peace comes to the Christian mind when we dwell on the promises of God. When we dwell on the fact that Jesus says, I am going before you to prepare a place in my Father's house. There are many rooms. I'm going ahead of you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I give you living water. I give you the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. The sheep know my voice. I lead you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you'll fear no evil. My rod and my staff, they shall comfort you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of God forever. I'm meditating on those truths, on those words, on who God is. And the word for the opposite that we often get caught in is the word ant. Have you heard that word, ant? People will use this, pastors who practice, you know, counseling without a license, like we all pastors always have his advice and everything. And ants, anxious negative thoughts. Have you heard that? Anxious. Do you have ants crawling up your arm? Anxious negative thoughts. That's a sign, right, of worry. God wants us to remove the ants. God wants us to, invites us to not meditate on the mess, but to meditate on the master, right? God calls us to see that which is true in God's word and to meditate on him who has conquered all things in the cross, even sin and death, and who has risen from the grave and who promised us his eternal life in his name. And not to have ants, anxious negative thoughts ongoing in my mind over and over and over. And one of the quickest ways to deal with these things is gratitude and meditating on the goodness of God and on his word. Are you bound, as someone who may have a burden in your life, are you bound to be worried all the time or be anxious all the time? You're not. Not according to God's word. As one pastor kind of says, and I love this line, I'll just share it with you, and then we'll close. He says, look, Christian, life will give you lemons, but you don't have to suck on them. You don't have to meditate on them. Meditate instead on God's goodness and on God's word. How do I overcome worry? I cast my cares. I abide in Christ. I look to God's provision. I meditate on his truth, the God who is provident. If you are here this afternoon and you are very burdened down and you are very worried in your heart and soul, can you hear from God's word that in Jesus Christ a new day awaits? He is the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. Life might not always be easy. There'll be trials. But I hope in church this afternoon and in this week ahead, in your own studies and devotions in families, I hope you'll know a fresh hope. I hope you'll know fresh healing. I hope that you'll be able to be led to a place in your life where you'll be able to say again, I'm anxious for nothing. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you that you are absolutely sovereign over all things, that your providence reaches to every single corner imaginable in our lives and in the universe. We confess, Father, that we are weak, that we often allow ourselves to be overcome and consumed in our hearts and minds by worry. We confess that we, on a spiritual level, have doubt, and we do not trust you enough. And Lord, we thank you for all the promises we've heard in Scripture this afternoon. Lord, will you teach us your perfect plan, that even when we can't see the way forward, you call us to trust in you, who will supply our daily bread, who will meet our every need. And we thank you for the promises in Scripture that there is nothing in all creation, neither height nor depth, nor past, nor future, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, we surrender our worries to you. We surrender our lives to you in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.